So that last song, actually, Natalie wrote that. So if you've ever heard it before, she wrote that. And so, yes. And I love that. And why should the big churches write all the songs, right? You know, all the, yes, that was beautiful. And our God is a God who hears our cry. And actually, I want you guys to stand back up. I'm going to read a portion of scripture to get started. And it's from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 10. I will start with, I'm not sure what I told you before, Beth, but I'm going to start with verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Welcome to Resurrection Church. If you're joining us today, it's a special day. We have a special guest, Susan Staples, and a missionary to Thailand. And I picked this scripture to read because the gospel, first of all, is a simple thing. Believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again for our salvation. It's that simple. God made the way of salvation very, very, very easy. You don't have to climb mountains. You don't have to torture yourself. You don't have to do a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's simple as believing in your heart about Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, that means, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. He will hear your cry. Even in the depths of your soul, you cry out, he hears you. Even if you are in the remotest part of the earth, or even if you wander from God, so far away you think you're too far for God to hear you, he will hear you. It's that simple. Salvation is that simple. Trusting and believing in Christ. Now, the good thing is we live in a country where there's churches everywhere. We live in a city where there's churches everywhere. And we can click on and hear our favorite preachers, our favorite teachers, anytime, day or night, right? And we're almost too exposed in one sense that we almost take it for granted. But it's good news. And there's some people who never heard the good news. And God raises up pastors and preachers and missionaries and you and I to share with people. And today we have a very special guest, Susan Staples, who has been in Thailand as a missionary, sharing the gospel, sharing the love of Christ for 19 years. And so I want to invite Susan to come on up, and after the Lord's going to lead her on her talk and her presentation. Afterwards, I'm going to do a little interview with her because it's not every day we get somebody that that has been there for so long. So anyway, welcome, Susan Staples. And let me just pray for you before we get started. Father, just thank you for Susan. We pray your blessing on her. We pray that you anoint her this morning as she shares. And we pray that you prepare hearts, Lord, those who are present in person and those who may be watching online, whether watching live or watching a recording, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
สวัสดีค่ะทุกคนสบายดีเนาะใช่ไหมคะWhat did I just say? Oh. Yeah, how are you? Hello, how are you? Very good, Michelle. I am so excited to be here and to share a little bit about what God is doing in Thailand. And if we have the PowerPoint, you can go ahead and put up the first picture. But I have been in Thailand for 19 years, as Pastor John just said. And I want you guys to look at this picture. And as you look at this picture, think about just a couple of things that Pastor John just said. We have a church on almost every corner. Imagine those churches being Buddhist temples. Imagine each temple having a statue like that one. And when people go into the temple, there's no service like we do. Basically, they dress up to the hilt and they put on their best dresses and they give offerings to the Buddhist monks who are wearing orange robes. And the monks have taken a vow of celibacy and they actually live at the temple and they will go and give their offerings. They think they're making merit to overcome their bad deeds. And they go in and they might make an offering to the Buddha statue. They might bow down. So when you think of all those verses in Isaiah where God says, I am the one true holy God, you shall have no other images before me, and all these things. And we think, what idols, you know, and you hear so many preachers here in the U.S. talking about, you know, the idol is anything that's more important to us than God, and that's very true. But when you put it in perspective, people are bowing down to these things. And they will go, and they believe that once you make it, and it's sitting up there, that these spirits inhabit it. And so it's just very different. And I'd like us to put up the verse from Acts. It's in Acts chapter 17, verse 24 and following. And I'd like to invite you guys to do what we do in Thailand, which is I'd like to invite everybody to stand up yet once again so we don't fall asleep. And we're going to read these verses together so we can just read them from the PowerPoint because I know different people have different verses. So let us read it together. 1, 2, 3.
God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though needed anything. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius, Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them.
Thank you. Amen. You can be seated. So thinking about this picture, I just want to share with you, about a year and a half ago, I was doing my evening walk among the village where I live, and they were building a new Buddha statue at the Buddhist temple. And you have to understand, each community has their own Buddhist temple. And they spent like a few weeks building this Buddha statue. It was probably as tall, almost as tall as this building. And it was about from this wall all the way over to here. It was huge. It was huge. And they were painting it, and they got all these people to donate money because they think, oh, I'm giving money. I'm making merit. That will erase some of my bad deeds that I've already done. And they built this whole thing up. And every time I would walk by, and all I could think of was, this is meaningless. It's not a God. It's not the one true God. And yet they were making it. And as soon as they finished making it and they painted it and they got everybody to donate their time to come and build this thing, then they had a big dedication ceremony. And at the end of this dedication ceremony, they just put it up there and people would come and bow down to it. And they literally saw that this thing had no ears. It had ears but couldn't hear, eyes but couldn't see, a mouth but couldn't speak, and yet they still believed that these spirits came and inhabited it from the dedication ceremony onward. And this just kind of brings it into perspective. And it would just break my heart every time I would walk by this and I would think, God, how do I tell them in a way that makes sense to them that this thing is just a piece of wood painted and looking nice? And it's heartbreaking. And at the end of the verses that we just read, it said that some of the men who heard Paul preach, as soon as they heard about the resurrection, they just said, that's it, and they walked out. And that literally is the response I get from a lot of Thai people when they hear the resurrection. They just go, there's no way. That's just crazy. No one can raise from the dead. And it's a stumbling block and a wall that just comes up right here. And so these are some of the challenges that we're facing. And I'm convinced after 19 years that the way to reach Thai people is not to invite them to church because they think of Christianity as the foreign white man's religion, but to really get into a relationship with them. Some of the people that I've been living around for the last 3.5 years in the place where I'm living, they're just now starting to be like, oh, okay, what is Jesus about? And will I have this problem? Will Jesus help me with this problem? Oh, I'm sick. Maybe Jesus might, you know, will you pray to Jesus for me? And it's just now starting to understand and to be interested and just go, why do you believe this? And so it's exciting that as you develop relationships, that God is moving among them. You can go to the next slide. Some people might be kind of wondering, like, where is Thailand? if you've heard me share before, you kind of have an idea. But this map is in Southeast Asia, and I just kind of want to give you an idea of the surrounding countries. So you've got Laos in the north, Vietnam up here, and China way up here, and they're all communist. Then you've got Cambodia over here, and they're still recovering from the killing fields back in the 70s. They're really poor and really struggling still. You've got Malaysia in the south, which is Muslim. Then over here you've got Myanmar, which is run by a military government, and they're pretty much trying to kill all the minority groups in Burma, so they're flooding into Thailand as refugees, and the Thai government does not know how to deal with that. So this is kind of the surrounding area. And in the middle of this is Thailand, which has religious freedom. You will not be put in jail. You will not be killed or hit if you share the gospel. But at the same time, there's a lot of social and family pressure to not accept the gospel because we're Buddhist and we're Thai. And Buddhism is kind of this cohesive thing that kind of binds everybody together in a, as a unit. And it's so important for the Thai people to be together, to be the same. Here we kind of value differences. Oh, I'm different. Oh, I'm this, you know, I'm that. But they value sameness and community and togetherness. So when somebody gets interested in the gospel, what do you do? Because their family's going to try pulling them back. So what I've discovered is part of the answer, at least, is to get to know the family. Don't just witness to one person. Witness to the entire family. Because when families come to know the Lord, that's when the gospel is going to take root in the Thai people's hearts. And yet missionaries have been there for over 200 years, and what do? They minister to the individual. They go to the colleges and the universities because that's when people are open to new things, right? Because they're away from their families. They're away from everything that they know. And a lot of you guys here know about that because you have kids that are, you know, on that age. So that's what a lot of people have done. And yet we need to reach the families. And that is what I'm going to do when I go back. And I'm going to tell you more about that in a minute. But you can go to the next slide. A lot of you know that I used to live with 11 teenage girls, and throughout the 10 years that I lived with them, we had 24 girls come through the girls' home. This is a few of them, and out of all 24 girls that we had, 20 of them are still walking with the Lord, and that is a God thing. It is not anything that we did. This is Nam over here on the far right, and she just graduated from college with a degree in teaching and is praying about whether to go into teaching as a profession or whether to go into full-time ministry. And her family's kind of pulling her into teaching because it's a stable job that she could have. So, but her family's kind of all selling drugs. But yeah, pray for her. And then the next girl is On, and she's in her second year of university studying English. So pray for her. The third girl there, I don't know who that is, some weird person that I've never seen before. And then there's Noon. who has lived with me during school breaks because her dad's in jail on drug charges and her mom is working in Korea, of all places. and so she stays at a children's home during the school year and then comes back and stays with me. You can go to the next slide. And this is Nye. And for those of you that have been supporting me, we've been helping Nye go through college. And she just graduated college and she's wearing Hmong dress. And she is one of the four that is not following the Lord, but she is so sweet and so moral. Usually the ones that don't, the girls, the other three girls, they're off doing all sorts of weird things that I don't even want to talk about. But Nye is different. She's very moral and she is very sweet and humble and yet just keeps saying over and over, "Pisuthan, I don't know if God is real." And I've prayed for her a lot that God would just reveal himself to her. And she just keeps saying, "Susan, I don't know. I don't feel God. I don't know where God is. Is he real? How can I?" And I read the Bible and I don't understand it. And we've talked and talked and talked, but she is just really sweet. So I still have hope for her that God is going to reveal himself to her. So if you think about Nye, pray for Nye. But she graduated from college with a degree in Chinese and wanted to work in tourism. Now, pre-COVID days, that was a wonderful thing because we had Chinese tourists, countless Chinese tourists in Thailand. And they came and now that COVID came and they're all gone. And so Nye had a hard time finding a job. She was really struggling. So she just got a job a couple months ago. So pray for her. Next slide. This is Nui. Nui is in her last year of university and she got involved in a really good church in Chiang Rai, actually started by an Australian missionary. And she is majoring in English, and she is really thriving. So your prayers make a difference, you guys. If you guys think, oh, I'm praying for this person. I don't know who this person is. I've never met this person. I'm clueless. But you know what? God is working. So keep praying, you guys. God is working. Next slide. a couple years ago, I started to have to want to reach out to more women and let them know that they have worth and value because God created them. So because we're a small group, I want you guys to just shout out some answers. I'm going to ask you some questions so we don't get bored and fall asleep while we're sitting here. What does our society say our worth and value, not just women, but women and men? Where does our value come from? What does society tell us?
Money.
Job.
Money.
Education. Education. What you produce. Looks. Social media. Yes, very much so. And I won't have you read these verses because they're familiar to a lot of us, but I want you to think about how all of those things that we just said, how does that compare with what God said is, says in his word? They're polar opposites. And when I go into villages and teach women, and a lot of people have said, Susan, why do you teach women? You need to be teaching men. And we're working, God and I are working on that. But when I teach them, we talk about how what God's word says is very different than what society says. And that we have a choice. What are we going to believe? Are we going to believe what God says? Or are we going to believe what the world says? And some of the fruit that we've seen from that, you can go to the next slide. You can go to the next slide. We'll come back to that. We did it with a group of Hmong teenage girls. These were girls living in the villages. And they had an amazing time. One of the comments that we got from one of the girls was, we were eating lunch and we were, it was like a buffet kind of thing. And we were just putting rice and food on our plates. And one of the girls said, you know what? We can eat as much as we want because our value doesn't come from how much we weigh. And I thought, they got it. Right here, they are drawing a picture. Do you guys have any idea what they're drawing a picture of? What are some ideas you guys have? Yes, very good. They're drawing a picture of themselves and they're writing three things they like about their appearance, three things they like about their personality, and three gifts and abilities they have. And some of these girls in this group, actually, they would draw the picture and it was really nice, and then they wouldn't write anything because they said, there's nothing good in me. And we were talking about how we compare ourselves with other people. And this is not just a Thailand thing. I know that every single one of us in this room has at one time or other compared yourself to someone else in something. And they were saying, there's nothing good in me. I can't write anything down. And we said, oh, yes, there is. What do you like? What do you like about your body? And then some of them said, I can't do that because then I'm elevating myself over other people. I'm not being humble. I'm being prideful. And we said, no. And so then we started talking about what is the difference between being prideful and just accepting who you are and accepting who God has created you to be. And so then they started writing things down. And then, Jean, what do you think they're doing in the other picture? Yes. So they were writing good things that they saw in other everybody else. They got so excited about that. And they got so excited to tear off this piece of paper and look at it and read it. And the change that came over these girls from the beginning to the end of these 3 days was amazing. And a Hmong woman named Ban, who has started teaching this with me, she has started a Facebook group for these girls and she sends them encouraging updates. And so we're still keeping in touch with all of these girls. But it is amazing to see what God is doing. Next slide. And we said to them, let's just pick a partner, anyone that you feel like you can trust, pick a partner and share with that person something negative that somebody said about you that has really been hurtful. share that with your partner and pray for each other. And I thought this would take like 10 minutes. It literally took 40 minutes because they were bawling. They were crying and just talking about that. And God set them free. And they said, we want to keep doing this. Like, this is something we want to, and this does not happen in Asia, with Asian people who hold everything inside and say, oh no, I'm fine. Kind of like us sometimes too. But God is really working. Next slide. So Bon and I decided that we should go up to some villages and teach the adults, not just the teenagers. And we got up into the villages, and this is a Hmong village. And the story that I want to tell you about is about the lady wearing the blue shirt or the blue jacket on the standing on the right side, and then the third lady from the left. Both of those women are married to the same man, because they got pregnant by the same man at about the same time about 25 years ago. So they've been married to the same man for 25 years. Their houses are right near each other. They're like right together. And then the man goes off and does whatever he wants. He goes to whichever house he wants. And they both of these women come to church every Sunday. And they're there, but they don't really like each other, obviously. And there's a lot of issues there, as you can imagine. So we come in and we talked about how we have worth and value. And I gave them homework, and I said, and it's actually the same homework that I want to give you guys today. The homework was, now you know and understand that you have worth and value simply because God created you. I want you to go home and show someone else in your life that they have worth and value. It could be something you say. It could be something you do. It could be your husband. It could be your spouse, your child, your friend, your neighbor, anyone. What can you do to show someone else that they have worth and value? And the next day, the lady on the far right in the blue jacket, who everyone in the church told me was the wife that was not loved, came and shared a testimony that the evening before, she went to do dishes, help the other wife do dishes and wash her dishes. And she had never, ever done that before, because she was always in her house and the other wife was in her house. And she said, as they were washing dishes, they were talking. And she said, and last night as we washed dishes, I realized that she's a good person and I forgave her. God is working and setting people free. Now, if you're sitting here and you might be thinking, well, okay, why didn't one of them get a divorce? Why are they still married? What's up with that? In Hmong culture, it is perfectly acceptable for a man to have more than one wife. Now, legally in Thailand, you can do that. And in the past, Thais did it as well. But Thais are not really doing it anymore, but the hill tribes are. And Hmong men will take a second wife if they have no kids, if he's bored with the first wife. He will take a second wife if they have daughters but no sons. I know a Christian family. The man went through Bible college. He was pastoring for about 5 years, then left the pastorate. They have four beautiful, beautiful daughters, and he wants a second wife because they have no sons. And that's a thing that happens in the Hmong villages. And you might be thinking, well, why don't they just get a divorce? Especially in this case, if they get a divorce, that woman has no recourse. She has nothing. All of her money, her livelihood, comes from her husband. She has no education. She cannot leave the village to get a job because she speaks Thai only a little bit. I actually had a hard time talking to her because her Thai is not that good. She can't get a job, can't speak Thai. And if she stays in the village, she has no money. All the fields, everything is in her husband's name, not her name. Her own family will not help her, because that's another thing. When you get a divorce, the woman cannot go back to her own family. They're afraid of the spirits. Because once a woman gets married, she actually becomes part of the husband's family, and their worship, those the husband's ancestral spirits. So if the woman goes back to her own parents and her own family, they're going to be deathly afraid of retribution from the spirits. Someone will get sick or die, so they will not take her in the house. The only people I've seen that will accept a daughter back into their house after she's married is a Christian. The other ones will not. So there's a lot of issues that go into this, in case you're wondering about that. So can you imagine how exciting it is when these women find out that, yeah, God sees me, just like that song we were singing this morning. God sees me. God understands. Sometimes we have issues and we think, oh, is God really there? Does God really understand me? And you know what? These women have grown up in a culture that does not value women. You can go to the next slide. They're studying the word. Probably one of the first times that they came to church and were not just like sitting there listening and hearing it go in one ear and out the other, but they're getting into the word. The lady holding the baby cannot read at all in any language, so she's kind of listening. Next slide. We do have a lot of fun while we do this, as you can see. So they're playing games with balloons and popping balloons, and we have a lot of discussion groups. Next slide. So then we went to some Korean villages, and this is kind of what it's like when we eat. And these four grandmas were so excited that we came, and they can't read. So we had to really change how we taught and what we did because they can't read. So we had a lot of pictures and stuff. And they would just sit there and a lot. So I didn't think they were getting it all, but they were. And so they were just giving some testimonies there, but they're really, really sweet. Next slide. And one of the things, we're really big on affirmation in here, and when they're doing a toothpaste thing right here. And if we make a picture, we draw a picture with toothpaste, and then I tell them, okay, you have 2 minutes, put all the toothpaste back in the tube. And they're like trying really hard, and they're blowing the toothpaste tube, trying to get the toothpaste back in, and then they can't. And then the point is that just like the toothpaste, we can't put it back in the tube. Whatever we say, we can't put back in our mouths. But yet where, and I want to ask you guys this, the things we say, where do they come from? The heart. So if you really want to deal with your tongue, you need to deal with your heart and your thoughts. And so we talk a lot about on how do you change your thought life? How do you stop believing lies? Identify the lies that we believe and start changing those. And for many of these women, it's a totally foreign concept. They are convinced that any thought just pops into your head and you have no control over it. That is what they believe, and it is a lie. Because God tells us that we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's hard. It is hard, and I will be honest with you guys, that is the one thing that I struggle with the most, is my thought life. And yet, that is where the battle is fought, is in the mind. Next slide. And this is just some of the, we went to some Korean villages that were way up in the mountains, and it is absolutely gorgeous there. And if you see it during the rice harvest, it's really beautiful. Next slide. And God opened the door for me to go to a Korean Bible training college and children's home. And they said, Susan, we really want you to come and teach, but you have to teach the boys too. And I thought, because I'm single and my heart is for women. And I thought, men don't struggle with this. And then I found out they do. That was enlightening to me. Some of you are like, duh, Susan. What they're doing there, we give them trash bags, tape, and scissors. In groups of five, they choose one person to be a model, and they make a dress. Everyone in the group makes a dress or some sort of outfit for them, and then they walk around as models, and then we talk about how we spend so much time looking and taking care of our outward appearance? How much time do we spend taking care of our inward appearance and our inward, our heart before God? But this guy over here that's doing this, he drove me nuts. He was my translator because some of these people only spoke Korean. They didn't speak Thai. And so he would just be like all over the place. And he'd be jumping over here. And then he'd be jumping over there. And he had so much energy. Now, I have a lot of energy. I'm kind of calm right now with you guys. But like when I'm teaching these guys, I'm literally all over the place because it keeps people excited. But he kept going on and on and on. Like, why are we doing this? What does this mean? What about this verse? What about that? And I was like, and he was all, and because he was translating, he wanted to know everything, and that makes perfect sense. But what I discovered later is that he had just not very long prior to this gotten out of jail. He'd been in jail on drug charges. He and his wife were having a huge marital issues, and they, after this camp, he had a testimony, and he said, "I realized I have not been showing love and respect to my wife." And you guys, this is huge for an Asian man to admit this, because this whole saving face thing, they will not say anything like that publicly. And that evening, I found out later that evening he and his wife spent a lot of time, and he apologized to her, and they just had this huge reconciliation. And God really showed me through that, like, I should have known this before, that with those people that tend to drive us nuts, God's working. And so I just want to encourage you guys today, if there's anyone in your life that you're just kind of like, be encouraged, because God, you never know what that person's going through, and you never know how God's going to work in that person's life and how God's going to work in your life. And when he started translating for me, I had no idea that he'd just gotten out of jail. I didn't know any of that. I found that out later. But I am, whenever the COVID thing goes away, I'm going to go back there and teach again. And I'm looking forward to that. So next slide. So this is what I'm going to do next. My heart has been for women, and I've enjoyed working with this church plant. And now it's time for another chapter. So in Chiang Mai, there's a group called Home of the Swallow. It's a home for women who have small children who are in an abusive situation, and for women who are pregnant and are not married. And so this is a Christian home for them. It's a Christian ministry where they bring the women in and they teach them life skills. How do you deal with a child? How do you raise this child on your own? Because usually Thailand, they're very community oriented, so children are being raised by grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, the whole shebang. You know that verse that proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. That's really true over there. But because of the shame involved in pregnancy outside of marriage, and it happens all the time, but it's kind of swept under the rug. No one talks about it. And God has opened the door for me to work with this group, and I'll get to teach Shine to them. I will be working for them 3 days a week. Get to be a big sister. I won't actually be living with the women, but I will be there 3 days a week. And then the other 4 days a week, they will allow me to go and travel around Thailand and teach Shine, which is this curriculum. And you guys, I know Kim told me in an email that she got her dream job. This, you guys, is my dream job, to travel and teach, which is, because of COVID restrictions, a little on the difficult side right now. But the previous organization that was giving me my visa would not let me do that. So this is a huge, huge opportunity. Next slide. So how can we pray for Thailand? A lot of times we want to pray, but we don't know how. How can we pray? And these are just some ways that we can pray for Thailand. For me personally, that's not up there. Pray that as I move to Chiang Mai, where Home of the Swallow is, I want to be in a place where there are only Thai people, because Chiang Mai is a big city filled with a lot of expats. I want to be in a Thai community, and I want to be in a non-Christian community. Pray that God will put me there. Because before I came back to the States this time, I packed up my entire house, and everything's kind of in storage at a friend's house. So I will be moving to a new house, and I want to do it right. I want to come into the community, build those relationships. So pray that God will put me in the specific place that He would have me, so that I can go out and share and teach, and just pray for divine appointments, and pray that God would reveal Himself to Thai people. And I think I told you guys this when I was here 3 years ago, but missionaries have been in Thailand for 200 years. There's religious freedom there, and yet seeing very little fruit. The end times are coming. Jesus is coming soon. I don't even pretend to know God's timetable, but the end is getting near. And yet Thai people are still have hardness of heart. And yet God wants to see Thai people in heaven. I believe there will be many, many Thai people in heaven praising God with us before the throne. And yet they need to hear in a way that they understand it and can receive it. Because as Pastor John said this morning, the gospel really is very simple. But yet man makes it so hard. Buddhism makes it so hard. Oh, I have to do this. I have to make merit. I have to do this and that. And there is literally no hope in Buddhism. None whatsoever. It's just a constant thing of rebirth. Death and rebirth. Death and rebirth, with no hope that this cycle will end anytime soon. They know they're sinners. They know that there is nothing that in Buddhism that can take away any sin that they've already committed. They know that. But yet they still think, oh, that's okay, because in another life, I'll just come back as something else. And that's the only hope they have. But we have hope in Christ. So thank you.
Susan, a couple of questions, just while we have you here. Will this reach? I think we're good. Well, that was, how many of you were blessed by what she shared? Susan, first of all, it's fascinating because it's so different, you know, going to and hearing about other cultures that are, they're, you know, just, you know, but people are people, and people, you know, still need the Lord. And I wrote down some questions because I was thinking about there's two kinds of calling that I can think of in Scripture. One is a call to know Christ, right, to know Jesus, and many of us have responded to that call. But then there's the call to serve Him. And when did you? I mean, you were a missionary in Thailand, but when did it start? When did you sense the Lord calling you to go out into the field, and what was that
to
like?
To missions or to Thailand?
To missions and then to Thailand, okay.
Because those are different.
Yeah, okay.
When I was still living in Tucson, I was 19 years old. I went to a missions conference and heard Elizabeth Elliot speak.
Oh, wow.
And she just was amazing. But one thing that she said that really stood out to me that night was, she said, a lot of girls, a lot of people come up to her and ask her, you know, how can you go into the jungle and deal with all the bugs? I don't think I could do that. And she said, and I always tell them the same thing. What makes you think I like them? She said, I don't like the bugs. And I went, wow. Because I just assumed she had to like them. And she said, but when you compare the things that you don't like and the difficulties with the fact that people have never heard about Christ, and they need to hear about Christ. She said there's no comparison between the two. And I just felt God telling me in my heart right then, Susan, I want you to go on the mission field.
So when was it that you sensed God calling you to Thailand specifically? And what was that?
How did that was in 2002. And in 2001, I was working with Mission Assist and was going to Spain. And I really wanted to go back to Spain and work with North African Muslims. Yeah. And God kept closing the door. And I was all gung-ho. I'm going to Spain. God's calling me to Spain because I like it and I'm going. And God totally changed that when a missionary came and spoke from Thailand and said he was looking for someone to come work at the children's home and teach English. And then actually a friend of mine that a lot of you guys know, George Cole, called me the next day and said, Susan, God wants you to go to Thailand. And I said, no. And he said, pray about it. And if those of you who know George know what George is like, and he... And I would be like, okay, George, I'm hanging up now. And he, no, wait, don't hang up. You can't hang up. A half hour later, I said, okay, I'll pray about it. And wouldn't you know, God changed my heart. So 30 days from the time I decided to go to Thailand until I actually got on the plane and went.
So when you first went, was it like short term or was it all in?
No, I thought I was going for a year.
And it's been 19. Wow. Wow, how do you I mean, begin to even prepare for that? How do you, you know, I mean, that's...
I didn't, quite honestly. I had been preparing to go to Spain.
Right.
I had done everything. I was learning
Spanish. They don't speak Spanish in Thailand, do they?
No, they do not. But I had done everything I knew to do to prepare for Spain. And so I literally went to Thailand. I committed so many cultural faux pas that first year.
Yeah.
It's amazing those people still talk to me.
So what, when you go and how was that adjustment to a new culture and to now immersing yourself, you know, into a new country and culture, and how'd you go about doing that? You know, what
All the mission books tell you that the first few months is the honeymoon phase where everything's just wonderful and then it gets hard. And I was totally the opposite. It was hard from day one. It was like rice, and more rice. Morning, afternoon, and evening is rice. And I thought, can we eat anything else? And living at the children's home, you were surrounded by people. There was no privacy. I couldn't speak the language. I didn't know how to get around. I didn't know anything about their culture. And I kind of learned on the fly. So it was really difficult. And after 3 months, I prayed and I said, God, you have to do something because I'm going out of my mind.
Did you have, were there people there that you knew, or were you by yourself, or was there?
I knew the one missionary.
And that was it?
That was it.
But you were obedient to God's call.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy.
No, it wasn't. But after 3 months, God did a miracle when I prayed. And I met some other missionaries who informed me that there was actually an English worship service twice a month that was mostly missionaries. And I went and I discovered they had Thai class. And so I started taking Thai lessons. And that was like really exciting. And after that, everything changed.
So we've been here for so long. What are some like some more the most memorable encounters you had where God showed up in a, you know, in a profound way, to, you know, as you're ministering? What were some, maybe some encounters with the Lord that you had? Over the years, you probably have many, but...
Gosh, it's hard to choose just one. Some of the best encounters I had actually were living with the girls, which I lived with teenage girls for almost 10 years of the 19 years, and just seeing them come in not knowing anything about God, not knowing anything about the Lord, and then seeing them receive Christ.
Praise the Lord.
That, I think, is some of the most memorable things. Yeah. It were those girls. And seeing them grow in Christ and grow up and go, wow, I get it.
Have you had visitors, like, from the States come over to check you out and find out what's this life about? And
a few. Not
okay.
A lot.
Okay.
But a few. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is it, do you stay connected in a way, I mean, because you're in a different country, but you have family and friends over here. How do you keep from feeling like being isolated or alone, or do you even feel isolated or alone? Do you struggle with that at all.
That's interesting, because an interesting question, because I keep in touch with people here via Facebook, sometimes Messenger, that kind of thing, email, but usually it's Messenger. But, and I've never really in my entire life struggled with loneliness. It's never been a thing for me because I'm such an introvert anyway, and I'm always around people, so I'm like really excited when I can get some downtime. But since COVID hit and the first lockdown where they locked everything down in Thailand in March, I was not lonely because I had 4 teenagers and 2 dogs at my house. But over the last year, it's really been hard struggling with loneliness, not being able to go out and teach, not being able to do a lot of the things that I've been doing. And churches were online for the last couple months, and so not even going to church, and you know, that was really hard.
You mentioned in your presentation about the sharing the gospel approach is different. You have to be different, or whether. And when did you learn that? When did you figure out I can't do what the books are telling me, or I can't? You know, when did you figure that part out?
Unfortunately, it wasn't until about 5-6 years ago.
Wow. Wow. And so, developing relationships with the families, and you know, you're still sharing the gospel, but now in a probably not a traditional, you know, way we would think, but a way that would reach the whole family by relationship.
Yeah. So just to give you an example of what we're doing before COVID hit and this whole thing just stopped, I was teaching English out of my house 2 nights a week. And it was very cheap, $100 an hour, which is like $3. And the going rate is $200 to $250 an hour. So it was really cheap. And I had kids between first grade and sixth grade. So I divided them up into 2 groups. For an hour, I had the little ones. Then the second hour, I had the older ones. And I would teach English for about 50 minutes and tell a Bible story for about 5 minutes. So they were hearing, and I would start with creation and just tell them different stories. And then we went through about half of Genesis and then started with the New Testament with Jesus. So through that whole year, they got everything from creation all the way to the resurrection.
Wow.
In that 1 year. And then other nights, like 3 or 4 nights a week, when I would do my little walk through the community, I would find out where these kids lived. And I would go to their house and say, "Hi, how are you?" And for Thais, that's wonderful. Like here, somebody comes to your house and you're kind of like, "Who are you and what do you want?" But there, it's completely different. If you go in, they love visitors. They're very community-oriented. They want to talk to people. They're not in their house. So like around 5-6 o'clock in the evening, they're out and about. Like they're in the house. The door might be open. They might have the screen door closed, but the doors are open. And the kids are home from school. You know, mom and dad are home from work. And they're just kind of, you know, mom might be fixing dinner. But they love to talk. So I would just go and visit the families. And I'd say, "Yeah, so I told a Bible story to your son or daughter, you know. Did they tell you anything about it?" And they'd be like, some of them would be like, most of them would be like, "No, they never said anything." But a few of them would be like, "Yeah." And I'd be like, "Yeah, you know, this is what we talked about." And, you know, and if they were interested, I would share more. And I would find out, you know, just chat with them about everyday stuff. Find out, you know, where they were at in life and is there any issues, you know, because they're really open about stuff that, like, Americans would, like, not talk about at all. They're really open about that, you know, like, financial issues. They tell you how much money they make and how much money short and the whole deal. They're very open about stuff like that and aches and pains and who's sick and, yeah. And so I would just, you know, and I would offer to pray for them and, you know, and if they were open to it, I'd pray for that then. But a lot of people were not really open because they were like, you know, because their form of prayer is like the go to the Buddhist monk and they chant in another language and they don't understand anything, you know. Wow. So it's our, you know, praying to God. And I would explain to them what that was. And some of them would be open. Some of them, a lot of them wouldn't. But I would tell them, "Okay, I'm going to go home and pray for you at home." Wow. "Okay, thank you." And then I would just follow up with that. So it was just constantly building in and just little opportunities, you know. If there was a beautiful sunset, "Oh, look at that sunset God painted for us, you know." Mm-hmm. like that's a new concept for them. So
wow. Yeah. Just one more quick question is, if what would you say to somebody who may be sensing a call to missions? What advice would you give that person? You know, if they're thinking that God's calling them to do something, maybe, you know, maybe not as long term, or maybe, maybe. So what would you, say to them?
I would say, number one, keep praying. Ask God to give you a verse, and ask God to open a door somewhere, and share that with your pastor, with someone, you know, that can pray with you. And then start researching. Mm-hmm. Start talking to people. You know, if you want to go on a short term, look at mission organizations. There's a whole slew of them online. You can and start researching. Ask people you know, do you know anything about this organization? Or is there a place that you think, you know, that my gifting might be used? And yeah.
Wow. Well, we want to pray for you. And you mentioned this new opportunity to go and be able to travel and teach and kind of work with this new organization. So we want to pray for you. And is there anything else how we can any other ways we can pray for you?
Just pray for the, there's, since COVID, there's a whole list of things that you have to do to get into Thailand now. So
okay.
Pray for all of that.
We as a church actually do support her, and she's, and we also pray for Susan quite a bit. But did you bring information if people wanted
to? I do. I have prayer cards. Yeah, I
will. So she'll have prayer cards in the back. If you also want to prayerfully support her or support her financially or in any other ways, she'll have those in the back. But let's bow in prayer and just agree with me. Father, thank you so much for Susan and for what she shared this morning and the work that you have her doing in Thailand. Thank you, Lord, for these girls that she has befriended and shared the gospel with, and the many people, Lord, she has got to befriend and be an encouragement and to share Christ with, Lord. And I thank you for these last 19 years where you have used her, you've grown her. And Father, we pray, Lord, for this new opportunity, Lord, that you would prepare that way. And we pray specifically for the situation with the country with COVID and all the requirements, that you would open those doors and cause those areas, Lord, to be available for Susan to go through, and those doors to go through, Lord. And would you prepare her, Lord, as she goes back, when she goes back to minister in this new role and with new people and making new friendships and sharing the gospel? Or would you lead her, Lord, by your Holy Spirit in those situations? And we pray for the country, Lord. We pray, Lord, for people to receive the gospel, and that you would give not only Susan but other missionary and churches there wisdom on how to do that, God. We pray, Lord, that they would realize the hope that's in Christ, Lord, that is genuine and good news, Lord, that they would realize it. We pray also for that the lady, that the young girl that has not received you. I don't remember her name, Lord, that she's moral and she's humble. We ask, Lord, that you would grant her faith to believe in, and continue to lead Susan and to use her. And we want to bless her and thank you, Lord. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone who's here or watching, Lord, that has never heard you before or has not received you yet, Lord, that they would receive you, God, and receive your salvation through Jesus. And if there's anyone who's hearing and sensing a call into missions, Lord, that you would give them the verse and open door and wisdom in leading in that. And so we just thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me give Susan a round of applause. God bless you, Susan. And when we stand up, and actually, Susan, we always end our service with the Aaronic blessing. Do you happen to know it in Thai?
If I saw it in the Bible, yes, but no.
It'll be on the screen. So here we go. So we could, should we say in English and you repeat in Thai? Would that be good, or do you want we just read in Thai?
Do we even have it in Thai?
No, we don't have it in Thai. But
I didn't think
but
so.
You could. Okay. Can you, is that possible to translate?
I will try.
Okay.
I'm like, should I translate the word of God or not?
We don't know if you got it right or wrong.
God will know.
We'll just smile and nod. But we always do this every Sunday. We close out with Rangan Blessing. But to hear it in the Thai language would be really cool.
Okay. Oh, do you want me to go?
Yeah, I'm going to let you do it. We're just going to believe and receive.
Call for Zhao Uipuan Tan. Let Raksa Tan. Hi, Nata Kong Praong. Sang Sawang Bon Tan. Let Metta. Let Yoke. Countenance. I don't remember countenance. Let Call for Zhao Song Yim. Hi Tan. Let Bratan Santi Sung Hai Ge Tan. I don't know if that's correct or not, but.